you know, like I know, you can go into prayer with a burden on your heart and trouble in your mind, but by the time you get to the throne, peace. You know, the burden is gone. Peace of mind. Why? You've passed through that sea to the place of authority. And that's where we are to dwell. But see, one thing that has to turn is that you cease relying upon your own strength. Some of the times the problem with saints of God is that they don't know how to really give up. I'm not talking about give up to the devil or circumstances. I'm talking about giving up to God. Amen. It takes a special type of trust to give up to his sovereignty. Amen. Well, I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't see a way. Lord, I'm not feeling this. But God says, trust me. And it's not going to be limited to how you feel. See, there's all types of peace. There's the peace of God. There's peace with God. There's a number of types of peace. And those are like umpires that indicate whether you are trusting or not. When Jacob was hit in his thigh, his strength was messed up. He couldn't rely on himself no more, but he recognized, I'm holding on, but not by my strength. Somebody say the turning point. When you can realize, when you can recognize, that day that I shared that vision with you, I thought about that deeply for a long time. I said, Lord, this whole day passed by. I don't remember one detail. Honestly, I didn't remember one detail. I was so caught up in the strength of that vision. Heaven had kissed earth. I'd seen something that literally just shifted my spirit, turned everything. You know, nothing, I don't care what could have happened that day. It wouldn't have mattered. Amen. Amen. You understand what I mean? Tell somebody again, look at them, tell them, this is your turning point. After the hollow of his thigh was touched and that form of strength was abated, Jacob now feels strong, but not in himself. Now he's strong, not in himself, but in the Lord and in the power of his might. You see, when you're strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, there's no anxiety. There's no fear. There's no distress. You can rest. Your mind is at ease because God now is in complete control. He's a good heavenly father. Come on. I said, he's a good heavenly father. Through it all, the thick and the thins, the ups and the downs, the good and the bad, listen, God remains faithful to us. He's a good heavenly father. He's a, like the song says, a good, good father. When we don't understand, when we can't comprehend, he remains a good, good father. One day, we'll understand it all. Like the song says, by and by. So, having said that, Jacob now is strong, but not in himself. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. I want to give you a key. We all know about keys. Today, everything is almost push button. But still, there's some keys somewhere. But you know, if you don't use the right key for something, you know, your house key, if you have a house key, you don't use a house key in that. You know, the house key, you try to put the car key or another key, the garage key or whatever other key, try to open the house with it. It's a key. It's on your keychain, but it ain't the right key. And so it ain't gonna open the door. When we get the right key, I'm giving you keys now. These will open things for you. I guarantee it. If you'll implement this, if you'll walk this out, if you'll not be a forgetful hearer, but appropriate and apply these things to your reality, I guarantee you, God gave me this word for you. I guarantee you it will open doors. Amen. Open doors that no one can shut. Amen. Nobody will be able to shut it because you used the right key. The Lord told Peter, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in the heavens. Whatever you loose has been loosed. And so we have keys. So in Isaiah chapter 57 and verse number 15, I'm giving you a key. For thus saith the high and lofty one, that inhabits eternity. That would be God. Whose name is holy. He said this, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Verse 16, for I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth, for the spirit shall fail before me and the souls which I have made. The Lord said, I dwell in a high and lofty place with him that is of a contrite, a broken spirit. Back to that vision, when you know, and I was so happy to be in an all-night prayer meeting just to try to get away and get alone with God. But God said, I dwell with him that is of a contrite spirit. When your spirit is contrite, don't chalk that up as being a defeat or as being, you know, the enemy will come to you. Oftentimes try to talk to you, try to present or paint a picture. See, when God's going to turn things around, he comes to you in your strength to deal with your strength. The devil's the one that comes when he thinks you're weak or bleeding or hurting to try to say stuff. But see, God says, no, I dwell with you when you're contrite. When you're broken, don't think I've left you. Don't think I abandon you when you need. No, I'm there. I dwell with you there. I don't just visit there. I dwell. I live there. To do what? To revive the one that's contrite, but not in their own strength. Oh, I hope somebody gets this. Because you carry authority. I said you carry authority in the spirit. But you have to know how to unlock it. Amen. And release it. Amen. You have to know how to release it through the keys. And being contrite doesn't mean being defeated. You have to know how to roll. You have to know how to walk with God. He said, I dwell with them that are of a contrite spirit, contrite heart, and a broken spirit to revive them. You know, Peter said something in the book of Peter. I don't have that verse in front of me, but he said something once. He said, was it Peter or James? One of those two. If need be, I think it was Peter. He said, if need be, you are in heaviness for a season. See, when God touches us in our strength, tell somebody, stop fighting. Stop trying to win in that strength. Stop trying to argue your way through. Amen. Stop trying to force your opinion. Hallelujah. That doesn't lessen you. It only brings about a turning point. You really want to win? Let God fight your battle. Amen. Let God be the one. Let God touch you where you are strong. And if need be, for a season you are in heaviness through manifold temptation. But when you get in heaviness, even though the enemy may come to try to talk to you, that's not a time of defeat. That's where God says, I dwell with you there. He will allow during those times for us to be tested or tried. But he won't allow you to be tested above that you're able. But with every temptation, make a way of escape. But it's there. You know, Israel, back to their example, they, when they came through the wilderness, when testing came, they always wound up murmuring, complaining, desiring to go back instead of believing God. And they never learned his ways. You see, it's a turning point where God will allow you to be tested for a moment. See, our light affliction, tell somebody, it ain't but for a moment. It's not. Think about all the stuff that you went through that you thought never would end. Yes. Well, Lord, when you did it, they say never go in. Tell somebody it's over. Amen. Right? Amen. Hear what I'm saying? In those times, God wants you to hold fast and be steadfast with his covenant. He promised, didn't he, never to leave you? Yes. Is that what he said? Yes. Did he promise never to forsake you? Yes. Did he promise never to fail us? Yes. Didn't he do that? He promised us. He promised us. It's a promise from God. And he's not a man to lie. And he doesn't ever have to repent. Okay, so Jacob, are we on the same page here with Jacob? Yes. Are we seeing this turning point? God says, I dwell with them that are of a contrite heart.